for you guys, for this service, we're going to have a pretty tough bout. We've actually got a little bit of relations that'll be going at it here. So we have, you guys are very familiar with Ryan and Heather. So they'll be team number one. So come on up, Ryan and Heather, and give them a hand. And then we've got Ryan and Uncle Walt. So Uncle Walt and Madeline. And this should be very, very fun. So so whoever is going to be guessing first, you can, one of you on the stool and one of you from the other team on a stool. So guess first. And then Walt, if you're going to be acting first, then you can have a seat on the bench and we'll get Ryan started here. Actually, I'll leave this over here with you. So Ryan will be team one. You can have a seat on the stool and you and Ryan will trade places here in a minute. Let me make sure I've got, yes. So you've got 45 seconds. I'll get my clock started here. They can't look behind you.
Oh, I can look.
So yes. So yes, but I'll give these to you. So let me get some timer started here. Yes, you've got 45 seconds for two. Yes.
Two.
Okay, and I'll even make this a little bit easier.
Please.
The first one's a song. The second one's a movie. Okay, you ready?
A song and a movie. Okay.
All right.
And I can,
you can step
I can
up on stage. That way they can see
guess,
out
right?
here, too. All right. Here are your two.
I'm nervous.
And they'll be on the screen so you guys can see them. And when Ryan starts, we'll get started.
Uh-oh.
What are you doing first? The song.
The song first?
The song, yes.
You're doing the song first? Okay. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes. Booyah!
That's
oh,
right.
My goodness. You give the easy one.
Oh, I'm still in the mode. I don't
He's
know this
the movie.
Can you do like sounds like?
You just can't talk.
First word.
Like you're
How many
now.
Words? How many words? Well, that's a lot of words. Four words. Third word. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh my goodness. Good
I
job.
Love Christmas movies.
Wow. All right, we'll have Walt, you got your
I've
work
been
cut
watching
out for
them for
now.
A month, so
it's that connection. So restart.
ESPN's on.
Oops. Reset. There we go.
10 years.
All right, so a song and a movie also. All right, you think you can get it? 45 seconds. We got Madeline, you can hop up on stage there.
Yeah, we're
that way,
song.
Hop up on stage where Ryan was, so that all these great people can enjoy this.
Song.
And Jingle we'll, bells.
I probably should sit down. So.
I can't help it. I can't be quiet.
You can start whenever. I start the time when you start.
Ho, ho, ho. Santa Claus is coming to town. coming. Santa, your Santa is coming to is coming. What? Oh, Walters, we're losing.
You can skip it if you want. Come back to it.
Santa Claus. I know. That's what I think about. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town. Is all I can think about. How many words? Four.
Oh. Here comes Santa Claus. You got stuck on it.
You could have did here, honey. Here.
Oh. That's
team. That would have worked. Well, it's okay. Come on. We got a movie.
Well,
we still get to do the
bit.
Movie?
A little bit.
We don't get to do the movie?
That was your 45 seconds. Just in case you needed to, the movie was.
It was a lot of fun.
The Muppet Christmas Carol. So all right. So let's going to switch you guys out then. So let's have the gentlemen have a seat on the stools, and now they can't look.
Oh, we
And I think I got my teams right. I didn't write one or two on these. All right. So.
Hard for me not to talk.
I have no idea how she got that.
So the second. Set. Let me make sure. Can we? Yeah, I just want to see to make sure I've got the right No, they can't look at it. You can look at it now. You're safe. Let me see if to make sure I've got the right one. Yes, I do. Okay. All right. A book and a Christmas decoration. A Christmas book and a Christmas decoration.
Christmas book.
And you can take the stage, and I'll start your timer. Yeah, really.
Okay. Christmas book. Oh, I know what that is. Oh, How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Garlands? Oh. Icicles?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so close.
No, icicles, garlands. What is it called? So you're throwing it, and it's... I know, what's a garland? Icicles. What is that stuff called? It's stringy and long, and yeah, that's that stuff. What is it called? Icicles. Garland, icicles, what is it?
And
what is
I think we should let Walt steal that one, don't you?
I'm like, I can describe it.
Yeah, it was tinsel.
All right, so we got 3-1. All right, so Madeline, we get your last two here for this round. All right, once again, a book and a Christmas decoration. Okay? Ryan, you are all around it.
I'm going to do the book.
All right.
And we all know it's hard for me to be quiet. So I'll try.
More words? Jesus. Away in a manger, Jesus sleeps. This is a book. It's not I ever read, I can tell you that.
That was 45 seconds.
It was what?
All right.
What was it?
Well,
The Night Before Christmas. Oh, that's a poem. That's
Christmas.
Not a book.
Okay. So, decoration would have been fun to try. I thought tinsel was tough, but the decoration would have been a nativity scene. So, all right. So, pick your best guesser and your best actor out of both teams. We're going to go a winner takes all bonus round. Jimmy Fallon style. Ryan's acting. Acting or guessing?
Better act.
Better act?
Yeah.
All right. Have a seat on the stool. And you guys can have the mic between you guys because this round is the first one to get it. And they're acting together.
They're
both acting. And so here you go. It is a Christmas food.
Oh, gosh.
And...
Turkey, apple cake, applesauce, apple pie.
Fruitcake.
Oh, did you get it? Fruitcake. Good job. And they come from behind. Give them a hand, guys.
Look at that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It was great job and lots and lots of fun. I have no prizes for you aside from the honor of bragging at the family dinner. A little bit of fun on a Sunday morning. You know, in the beginning of Luke's gospel, he takes a little bit of time to talk about John the Baptist before he jumps into the life of Jesus. John the Baptist was Jesus' herald. He was to announce the coming of Jesus. And John the Baptist's father, he was a priest, and his name was Zechariah. Just before Zechariah's wife Elizabeth got pregnant with John the Baptist, Zechariah's division was on duty at the temple. And so Zechariah was chosen to go into the temple to burn incense. And this was a twice a day practice that they did. While he was in there, an angel appeared to him and told him that he would have a son and that his son would be special, and that Zechariah would call him John. Now, Zechariah is in shock because he and his wife are both old. Says angel, or Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and I like this." This is very respectful to his wife. "I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." That just shows that he's probably an all right husband. So he didn't call her an old woman. Because Zechariah questioned the angel that appeared to him and didn't believe what he was hearing, Zechariah was cursed with dumbness. You ever feel like you've been cursed with dumbness before? Have those days where you just think, "I've been cursed with dumbness." I know I have. But it's not that kind of dumbness. It's not stupidity. He wasn't cursed with stupidity. He was made silent, not able to speak, that kind of dumb. And while all of this was going on, the people outside the temple, they were getting worried. They were saying, "Why is it taking so long? I hope he's all right." And so when Zechariah came out, he was doing his best to describe what went on in there without the ability to speak. Much like our little game of charades here this morning. And if you can just imagine what we were seeing here, to imagine Zechariah coming out of the temple having talking or spoken to an angel and coming out and trying to describe that without using words, you know, without humming the tune even. Walt was trying not to. So as he's giving all these motions, the people thought that he had seen a vision based on his little game of charades. And we didn't send anyone out to go get Dawn back. She's back? Oh, you sent Monta. Okay, good news, good news. It just occurred to me. She's here with her son, and they get a chance to sit through the service together. So that was special for her. And so I want to make sure she got a chance to come back in. Catch myself back up. So he was describing what went on in there. And what they could get from the motions that he was giving was that he had seen a vision. And so he goes home, and soon after he goes home, Elizabeth, his wife, becomes pregnant. And when John is born, the family and the friends, they come and they share in their joy. And on the eighth day, they come to circumcise him. And at that time, his family and friends, they wanted to name the boy Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, he is to be called John." And that was confusing to them because no one else in their family, no one in their relations had the name John. And it just was strange that they would pull a name that wasn't a family name. So they went to Zechariah, and it cracks me up how they talked to Zechariah. This is right in Scripture. I want to read it to you. Verse 62 of chapter 1 of Luke. "Then they made signs to his father." He could hear just fine. Is that funny? They made... Yeah, you can talk to me. My ears work fine. I just can't speak. It's like when you're talking to someone with laryngitis. Do you ever catch yourself whispering back to them? Why are you whispering? They're the one with laryngitis, you know? Or like when you're talking to someone that speaks a foreign language, and you think if you just speak it louder and slower, they're going to somehow miraculously understand English. So they go to Zechariah, and they made signs to Zechariah. Just tell me what you want. Okay, to find out what he would like to name the child. So Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his curse of dumbness was gone, and he could talk again. We're told immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And this prophecy that Zechariah speaks, it's about what his son was going to do. It's about what his son was going to say about Jesus. And this is where we're going to be spending our time this morning, is in Zechariah's prophecy. And it's really interesting to see this, because he doesn't even know the depth of what he is speaking. He doesn't even know the depth of the truth of the things that are coming out of his mouth. We've been working through a series called The Story. It's a 31-week journey through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We started in late fall, and or actually early fall, and we're going to be ending about a month after Easter. And today starts a little intermission from that series. We're just going to take a four-week break from the story and then continue on in January 18th, I believe, is the Sunday that we start back. And so today starts a little four-week message series that's just the message of. It's the message of hope. The gospel message of Jesus. Jesus coming to earth. It is a message of hope. It's a message of love. We'll be talking about that next Sunday. You don't want to miss next Sunday. It's a message of new beginnings. That will be our baby dedication Sunday. And we will actually have one of our new fathers will be bringing the message that morning. Shane Douglas. Many of you have been praying for Luke. So Shane is going to be our speaker that morning. And then finally, to finish up the series, it's a message of peace. Today we're looking about how the birth of Christ is a message of hope. Hope is a very, very powerful word. And it's a word that I wish more people would connect to the gospel. The gospel is not just a nativity scene. The gospel is not just a piece of jewelry that you wear around your neck. It's not just some helpful, intelligent teaching that's positive for humanity. It's so much more than that. It's hope, and hope is powerful. You see people without hope, and you see some of the things that happen in their life, and it's devastating to them. It's devastating to loved ones. And you see people with hope, and you see them just live through unimaginable circumstances and situations. Hope is a very powerful thing. The presence of it and the absence of it. So Zechariah prophesies. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So Zechariah understood that Jesus was the Messiah. That Jesus was the one that John was going to be talking about, that he was coming before. And Jesus was coming to redeem his people. He was to raise a horn of salvation. And the use of the word horn here depicts power. Horn, in many different places in the Bible, is a literary symbol of power. So he's talking about Jesus coming with the power of salvation. He's coming in power. He says, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." See, Zechariah, like most Jews of his time, he expected Jesus to come in power and restore Israel, restore the nation. But we know that wasn't how Jesus offered salvation. Jesus brought hope to his people in a way that was different than what they were expecting. Sometimes the hope God brings is different than what we expect. Just going to write that down. Flip your bulletins over and let's start taking some notes this morning so you can take this home and really work through your life with what God's word says in Luke chapter 1 today. Sometimes the hope God brings is different than the hope you expected. Some of us need to be reminded of that today. Sometimes the hope God brings is different than the hope you expected. Zechariah expected salvation to be God rescuing them from their enemies. Zechariah wasn't alone in that. That was the expectation of all of Israel, of the Jews. That was the expectation of what the Messiah was going to do. Zechariah expected salvation to be God rescuing them from their enemies, from all those who hated the Israelites, to rescue them from the hand of Rome, to lead them into a military conquest that would avenge their oppression that they had suffered for years and years and years. But that's not the way God brought salvation, is it? God brought a different kind of salvation, one that no one expected. God saved us from our worst enemy, our sin. Jesus came to rescue us, really, from ourselves. We are the enemies that he is rescuing us from. See, Jesus rescued me from the enemy in me instead of the enemies outside of me. Through Jesus, God has given us the hope of a new birth. a living hope, as Peter describes in his first letter. Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great mercy. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." We have a living hope, one that does not perish, one that does not spoil, one that does not fade because it's living. That's the kind of hope we have. A living hope that's offered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And those who put their faith in him, they have the assurance of the salvation of their souls. Rescued from the enemy in me, my sin. That's far better than being rescued from people who hate you. That's far better than being rescued even from an oppressive government like Rome at the time that Zechariah lived. We have a living hope purchased for us by God, not through silver, not through gold, not through any form of currency. But this living hope was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the hope that God brings is different than the hope that we expect. Sometimes we have expectations on how God should give us hope. We think that he should bring us hope in this way or in that way, just as Zechariah and really all of Israel at that time. And when God doesn't bring hope the way that we think he ought to bring it, or the type of hope that we think he ought to bring in our life, then we're disappointed. Israel got a hope that was so much more than what they could have even imagined. What they could have, anything more than what they could have ever wished for. But they rejected it because it didn't come the way they thought it would come. They rejected it because it wasn't the hope they had expected, and they rejected it. And to this day, the Jewish faith still does not accept Jesus as the Messiah. They still reject this hope. So what about you? Are you rejecting the hope that Jesus brought through his birth because he hasn't brought you some other things that you've hoped for? Because you're disappointed that he hasn't acted in the way that you thought he ought to act, and so you're rejecting the ultimate hope that he's offered. The hope that he purchased through his blood on the cross. The hope that was brought through his birth. The hope that was solidified through his resurrection. Are you rejecting this living hope because God has let you down because he didn't do something the way you thought he ought to do it? Because God gives hope differently sometimes than the way that we expect God to give hope. So back to Zechariah's prophecy in verse 71, we'll reread that one. It says, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." We're grabbing a bunch of little parts from that. The first part of that is that Zechariah expected Jesus to restore the old covenant. He said to show mercy on our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Zechariah expected Jesus to restore the old covenant, the covenant that was started with Abraham, father Abraham. But Jesus didn't come to restore the old covenant, did he? No, he came to complete the old covenant and start a new one. He came to complete the old covenant and start a new one. And this new covenant, it is so much better than the old covenant. The book of Hebrews, the word better just shows up over and over and over and over and over again in the book of Hebrews. And his whole purpose in that book is to show how the new covenant, how what we have today is so much better than the old covenant. So much better than what they had. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 18, he says, "The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect." And a what? Better hope. Everyone say, better hope. Better. Turn to your neighbor, say, better hope. Turn to your other neighbor, say, better hope. Your neighbors are far away. So we have a better hope. The new covenant that Jesus brought was a better connection to God. In Zechariah's prophecy, he says that Jesus was to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness. Jesus brought a better connection to God's holiness and righteousness. A much better way than Zechariah could have ever imagined. We're on this side of the fence, so it's hard for us to think about what would these things be like if you never could imagine they'd ever happen, because we would have never imagined God living inside of us. See, that's one of the things we have. We have a better connection to his holiness because the Holy Spirit lives in believers. I think I've got that all on one screen. Hopefully I do, so that you guys can get all that. And there we go. And the next one. Jesus brought, we're getting a lot of caught up. So the new covenant that Jesus brought was better, a better connection to God. So I'll let you guys go and get that. And then I am on the next slide, I think fully done. There we go. And one more. There we go. So Jesus brought a better connection to God, and the first part of that is a better connection to his holiness. The Holy Spirit lives in his believers. You know, it doesn't get any closer than that, does it? Inside of me, God's holy presence living inside of me, if that's not a better connection to his holiness, I don't know how you could get better than that. God's Holy Spirit living inside of me. In the old covenant, holiness was obtained through regulations and ritualistic sacrifices, and that only provided a temporary form of holiness at best. How much better is the connection we have to God through the new covenant that was ushered in through the birth of Jesus? See, I think a lot of people still try to obtain holiness by themselves. They try to obtain it on their own power. There wasn't much hope in being holy and serving God without fear in the old covenant. But now look at it. Look at the hope that came through Jesus. The hope to be able to serve God without fear. Because he has made us holy. He has placed his holy presence inside of us. And it's not through your power. It's through his power that you're made holy. So Jesus brought a better connection to his holiness. Jesus also brought a better connection to his righteousness. If I can simplify the term righteousness, it is to be right before God. Righteous acts are acts that are right before God. Righteous thoughts are thoughts that are right before God. In the old covenant, you followed the laws. If you followed the laws, you were righteous. If you didn't follow the laws, you weren't. Paul writes, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." This righteousness comes from God. This righteousness from God, from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Jesus is our righteousness. We have an amazing connection to God's holiness. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have an amazing connection to God's righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He makes us right before God. Even on our best day, on our own power, we can't truly be righteous. In fact, that's the very thing that the law taught us. Years and years and years and years of the law existing before Jesus came to earth. And what that taught us was that we are not able to be righteous on our own merit, on our own ability. The law was powerless to bring us righteousness. It's not because the law was flawed. It's because we are flawed. We can't do it, none of us. And that's why Jesus is a better source of hope. It's because there is no hope in connecting to God based on your righteousness. There's no hope of that. But there is hope through faith in Jesus being your righteousness, making you right before God. Then you can come and serve God without fear. And then our ability to do righteous things, that comes through our faith in Jesus. Because he is our righteousness. He is the quality in our life that makes us right before God. But just like holiness, I think that people still try to gain righteousness on their own. They believe that a connection with God can be made possible because they're good enough, because somehow they can earn or deserve God's favor, God's love, God's grace. None of us are good enough to connect with God on our own merit. None of us. The connection with God is through faith. The good deeds we're able to do come from that connection. That's so much better. It's a better hope. Isn't that a better way to connect to God? A better way to connect to his holiness? A better way to connect to his righteousness? Zechariah continues. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." See, the knowledge of salvation is through the forgiveness of our sins. That's how we come to understand salvation. Not salvation that saves us from an oppressive government or from people who hate us. It's a different kind of salvation. It's different than what they expected. It's better than what they expected. And that's offered by the tender mercy of God. I love the prophecy here from Zechariah, how he words that. The tender mercy of God who sent his son to shine his light in our darkened world. See, Jesus is a better connection to God's mercy and forgiveness. Look at how clear God's mercy is shown through the gospel message, through the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, through the death of Jesus in his resurrection. And that all started with the Christmas story. God's means of mercy and righteousness and forgiveness and holiness for mankind laid in a manger. God's sinless son to be a sacrifice once for all. Peter says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." So let's write that down. It's a reminder to all of us this morning that Jesus became a once for all sacrifice. The righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring us to God. That's why all that happened. That's why that occurred. To bring you to God. To bring me to God. To bring all of us to God. That's what Peter says. Zechariah in his prophecy says to guide our feet into the path of peace. See, Jesus brought a better connection to God's path of peace. A path of peace to God. To be at peace with our Creator. We've all let him down. You have, I have. We just have. And when we come to grips with that, when we have those moments of realization, those honest moments, it's just a shameful place to be. To see how awesome God is, how much he loves me. And to think of how I treat him sometimes. How I disregard the things that he wants for me. The disrespect that I show him through ignoring some of the things I see in his word. The disobedience that happens. But because of Jesus, I can find peace with God. And you can too. That's a better path to peace. And that's real hope. To be at peace with ourselves. To look in the mirror and to know that Jesus is making me into his own likeness. That the Holy Spirit is working with me to sanctify me, to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me more and more holy. That's huge. I don't like to look in the mirror. I don't like seeing me for me, you know? I'm not a pretty person sometimes. And I've got plenty of reasons to not like this flawed person. And I would imagine that you probably feel the same about yourself from time to time. But we can even be at peace with ourselves through the hope that we have in Jesus. Because I can know that he's working with me to make me better. And that's a great hope indeed. That's not an empty self-improvement hope. That's not a New Year's resolution hope. That's a real hope. Because Jesus is the authority behind it. Jesus is the power. Jesus is fully capable of making me a better person. He is fully capable of making you a better person. And that's a great hope to have in our life. What are some of the things that you hope for? Think about those things right now. Think about the hopes you have today. The hopes you came in here with. The hopes that you went to bed last night thinking about. The hopes that you think that the next year might bring for you. You know, maybe you hope that for a better year next year than you had this year. And I think most people hope that. But maybe for you specifically, maybe this year was just a tough year. Maybe it was just downright awful. And some peace and joy would be really nice right now, and that's what you hope for. Maybe you hope for a better relationship with someone. Maybe you hope for a better relationship with your spouse. Maybe things aren't going so great there. Maybe the marriage is a little rocky, and you hope that that'll change. You hope for a better relationship with him or with her. You hope for a better relationship with your kids. Maybe you hope for a better relationship with your parents. Maybe it's a friend. Something's cut in there somehow and separated you. And maybe you hope for a better relationship with that friend. Maybe you hope you can get a better grip on your life. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. It could be all three. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, I wonder how many of us came here today hoping for a better connection with God. Is that at the top of the list of our hopes? And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it gets moved down. Sometimes it gets just buried under all these other hopes, all these other things that we hope for. All the other things that we hope for, they seem so immediate. They're just right there. But how many of us today, right now, that's the top hope. That's the single hope. I want a better connection with God. That's what I hope for. A better connection to God's holiness. A better connection to God's righteousness. A better connection to his mercy and his forgiveness. A better connection to his peace. You know, when we put it in that light, wouldn't all of that bring a better hope to all of the other situations you have in your life that you hope for, if that was your single hope? Let's write this down. How many of my hopes would be quenched through finding my hope in God? How many of my hopes would be quenched through finding my hope in God? Have you had things upside down? Maybe today is the day to turn things right side up and to find hope, real hope. The birth of Jesus is a message of hope. Sometimes the hope that God brings is different than the hope you expect. So maybe we should set aside our expectations of what God ought to be doing in our life and just sit and listen and hope and expect the unexpected. And know that whatever God's going to bring is going to be a better hope than the hope that you could even imagine for yourself. Maybe instead of hoping that God will restore something in your life, maybe it's time to simply hope for a better connection with God. And that would help all of the other things that you could hope for. if you were better connected to God because of his Holy Spirit, because Jesus was your righteousness, because you were better connected with his mercy and forgiveness and peace, how would that affect all of the other things you hope for? Gospel is a message of hope.